have a little bit of a health problem, and the time I get up, you guys are already back down. And it's sometimes very painful for me to get up. I've been doing a lot better the last month or so, though. And I thank the Lord for that. So. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, Lord. What I want to do, I want to continue. I've got a different title, but I want to continue the lesson that I started on the October 22nd. It was overcoming selfishness. It was about giving and about loving each other. I'm still amazed at how many people that tell me, you know, above all people, I mean, you know, I mean, who am I? I'm just pastor here at Calvary Gospel Church, you know. But there are people that will come and tell me how they don't get along with someone. And now when I hear that, it's like telling on yourself. You know, it's like going up to your teacher and saying, guess what I did? I know you're going to give me several demerits for this, but you know what I did? Now, I'm not the smartest person around, but I am smart enough. I know a little bit about the Bible. I'm smart enough to keep my mouth shut if there's something about someone that I question. And I still hear this, well, you know, I tolerate these people. I tolerate this person. When the Bible says we should love, is love actually more than toleration? Because you cannot overcome selfishness if you have ought against a person, feelings against a person. You can't hardly tolerate them. And yet the Bible tells us that we should submit to our brothers. So what I want to do, I want to talk about gaining favor with God. If you would take your Bibles and if you'll turn to Luke, the first chapter, I want to read verse 27 through 32. Praise God. That's all right. You don't have to be quiet on me, okay? Verse 27. Now, this is a story that you hear a lot at Christmas time. I think Brother Phil says it's about 40 days of Christmas, something like that. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art mightily favored of the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, I don't know what Mary was doing that caused God to favor her. But I'm pretty sure she wasn't doing a lot of things that God didn't like. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou has found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great. And shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So here is Mary just going about her business, and all of a sudden, an angel of God came to her. I don't know, have you ever had an angel come to you? There was one situation I was working on that was a very stressful type situation, doing some committee work for the UPC. And I was so troubled about this. And while I was praying, an angel, it was like God, walked up behind me and told me, he said, now take your pen out and I want you to write. And I did. And I knew when I had finished and the angel left that what I had written down was going to work. And sure enough, it did. But you're talking about an awesome feeling. An awesome feeling. But in this case, the angel said, you know, I'm visiting you because God has found great favor in you. Boy, what a compliment. Lift your hands and praise the Lord before you're seated. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord, we love you, God. We worship you, God. We praise you, Father, we do. We praise you, Father, we do. Praise the name of the Lord. And you may be seated. One of the first things that you want to do after you receive the Holy Ghost is to learn how to appropriate a blessing. Basically, learn how to gain favor with God. What do I need to do to gain God's favor? Well, the answer is very simple. You just do everything in the Bible that you know you need to do, and you do it with all of your heart. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to grow in knowledge and in grace with the Lord, and you're going to gain favor with God. Now, I think I used this title a couple of years ago. So I didn't go back and look. I'd planned on going back and looking, but I did not do that. What I want to do is just maybe review a little bit of what I taught on October 22nd. It was a lesson about giving. I mentioned that the only way you'll ever know that you've conquered greed is found in your ability to open your hands and let go of things. Now, I read as my opening scripture, Matthew 7, verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, most of you don't remember this because you're not old enough, but when I started in first grade in Gaston School District, right outside of Henderson, we had in every classroom the golden rule was do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And of course, I spoke on the 22nd that this is connected to a passage of scripture that Jesus gave when he says, if someone asks for bread, would you give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, would you give him a serpent? And what Jesus said now, if you being earthly know how to give good things, how much more shall your heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to you? And then he said, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Basically, what Jesus was saying is that if you want prayers to be answered, you need to learn the principle of giving to people what they need, not something they don't need. See, I think it's wise that when you're praying for people that you're very discreet even in what you tell God. Now, I know that, and I've heard this. I've probably said it myself, but I said, well, one thing you can do, you can tell God all that you feel about people. Well, I don't know that that's wise. Now, let me tell you the reason why. See, Peter says that the angels, which are more involved in the lives of people than we are, because they can see what a person does at night and daytime. But what they don't do, they don't go up to the throne and bring railing accusations against a person that they know that's done wrong. They're smart enough. What they do is they know that God sees all too. So my job is not to tattletale. If you've ever raised, especially girls, we found this out when we started our Christian school. I never had any girls, but three boys. Boys won't tell on each other. If somebody does something wrong, one of them, no, they won't tell. But girls will break their neck to go tell. Every time I'd walk through the Christian school, somebody would come out and say, Brother Grant, do you know what somebody did? Are they supposed to do that? And of course, if I say, no, they're not. Well, they just run right back in. I talked to Brother Grant, and he said, and there's some people that way, you know, now this affects your attitude toward people. You have to be careful when you start telling God all of their faults, especially if you're married to that person. And that's what Peter is saying. Now, wait a minute. God knows all. He sees all. The angels are smart enough to not go be telling. And you know, sometimes you can develop a bad attitude toward your pastor or some deacon of the church or some leader in the church, someone that you, just by speaking, even though you're praying to God, just by speaking in a critical way of that person. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying. You know, it's very important, if you want your prayers to be answered, that you always treat everybody exactly the way you would like to be treated. Now, we talked on the 22nd also about loving our neighbors ourselves. In other words, our neighbor becomes our equal. But then we talked about our brother and sister. The Bible tells us that we should esteem our brother and sister higher than ourselves. So your neighbor is your equal. Your brother and sister is your superior. That's the teaching of the Bible. Now, the thing about it is that most people are not willing to treat. They're not willing to treat their brother or sister like they are required to treat their neighbor. You follow what I'm saying? Now, we're still talking about overcoming selfishness. We're talking about also gaining favor with God. Now, the thing about it is, it's hard sometimes to forgive people if you don't love them. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 30, through the 5th chapter, verse 2. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, even as God, for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us, have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now, the thing about it is that, you know, one thing is to obey Scripture. Another thing is to emulate Christ or imitate Christ. And this is what the Bible is telling us. We need to imitate Christ. So if there's something that you are about to involve yourself in, and someone else is involved, you need to ask yourself, now what would Jesus do? It's kind of elementary, isn't it? But it really challenges you. Because the Pharisees were the keepers of the law. There's no doubt about it. But their attitude wasn't right. And those that didn't keep the law like they kept the law, man, they were ready to stone them, to kill them. So we are to imitate Jesus Christ. If my attitude is right toward others, then I have overcome my worst enemy, and that is me. I say, that is me. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount by giving us the Lord's Prayer. And in verse 12 through 15, Matthew 6, Jesus said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now he says amen, but it's like he had something else about that still on his mind. So even though he said amen, he went back to the scripture about forgiveness. He said, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The thing about it is, we say God will forgive me of anything. Well, that is true, but there are some stipulations before God forgives you. If you won't forgive people, it's like God won't forgive you. That's what he says. Why would you think that God should forgive you if you won't forgive somebody else? And the thing that I see in a lot of relationships with God is that they're always calling on God, do this for me and do that for me and do this for me and do that for me. And yet the Bible says, do this for God. And oh no. They're expecting God to answer their prayer. But they're not going to answer anything that God wants them to do. They just won't do that. So the secret to answered prayer is always forgive people, love people, treat people like God treats them. Now, here's a situation I want to call your attention to. Let's go to 1 John 4, verse 7 through 10. I've heard a lot of people say, I get tired of hearing this about love all the time. Well, you better watch who you tell that to. because you might be telling on yourself. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, propitiation simply means appeasement. When Israel was to leave Egypt, they put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And when the death angel came through, he saw the blood. And he passed over. This is where Israel started the Feast of the Passover. But the blood caused God to turn his head. In other words, he was appeased when he saw the blood. In other words, no wrath for this house, no wrath for this house. Now, we didn't love God when he called us. He loved us. When people give their heart to God, they don't come because they love God. They come because they're afraid they're going to burn in hell. I did. Man, I was scared to death. When I slid into the altar like a runner sliding into second base, I was afraid I was going to burn in hell. Brother Johnny Wilhoit, most of you know him. He was one of our missionaries. He's passed on. But he could preach. He preaches evangelistic messages. Man, I couldn't stand it any longer. I was going to burn up. I had a stomach ulcer, and I was a bleeding stomach ulcer. And I felt I was going to die with this, and I lost so much weight and everything. But to say, do you love God? Well, if I love God, I'd be serving him. But when I came to God and he filled me with the Holy Ghost, at the same time, he healed my body. I was totally healed. Totally healed. I started eating just about anything I wanted to eat. And today, Sister Grant says, I don't know how in the world you can eat all this so late at night. Well, I just got this iron stomach. But you know, after God healed me, people that I didn't like, there were people in the church that I didn't like. I used that as an excuse not to go to church. But those people, I know it was because the love of God was placed in my heart. I took on a real love for these people. I'm in a real love for these people. I love them. I love them dearly. And so this is what John is saying, that we have to understand that we love God because he first loved us. We didn't have the ability to love. Now, let's talk about the love that we have for our brothers and sisters. So in 1 John 3:16, and some of you and some of my stewardship teaching, you've heard me explain this. 1 John 3:16 is very similar to John 3:16. You know what John 3:16 is, don't you? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:16, the Bible says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Wow. But whosoever haveth this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him. Now, this is as challenging as any passage of Scripture when it comes to our relationship with our brother or sister. Now, James talks about this. He says, faith without works is dead. He said, now, if you see your brother and he's suffering and you could meet his need, but you go up to him and said, look, you pat him on the back and say, everything's going to be all right, brother. Just trust God. Just believe God. And you walk away, then what James said was, what good did that do? So here we see a situation where a brother or sister is in need. And now we're gonna take the place of God momentarily. You know, sometimes we do that. In other words, instead of God going and meeting a need, he sends us to go and meet that need for him. So when you are privileged to stand in God's stead, you must always realize that it's extremely necessary then to act like God would act. You hear what I'm saying? So you see a brother or sister that's praying at the altar, and you come up and you kneel down by him and you pray for him, and he wants to talk. So he says, you know, I'm just really having a problem. I lost my job some time ago. And you tell him, well, I'm sorry, I did not know that. Unemployment has run out now, and I'm sorry that I just need some advice. I need some help or something. I don't know. You said, look, let me pray with you. And you pray with him and ask God to meet his need. And you get up and you leave. Now, we pray every day and we bring needs to God because we all are needy people. So let's say the next morning you pray. You get down and you start praying and you're asking God to meet your needs. Take care of my wife. Take care of my children. Take care of this, take care of that. But while you pray, it's like all of a sudden, something comes to you. Now, this is what the scripture is saying. We'll read some more of it. You think God's going to answer your prayer? When you stood in God's stead and you could have answered by helping this brother, you did not do it. Now remember, the Bible says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, so ought we to lay down our lives for the brethren. You could have, but you didn't. And you think that God's going to answer your prayer? God is simply saying, wait a minute. If when you stand in my stead, and you won't give somebody something because, you know, it's always easy to say, well, I saw them eating out at Chili's. And I saw them running up and down the road, burning up gasoline. Always easy to excuse yourself. I'm just reading the Bible now. I'm just explaining the Bible, okay? It's okay to say amen or whatever. Okay. Why should God answer you when you have a need, when you had the answer for somebody that made a petition to you and you would not meet their need? Now, that's what John is saying. Listen to what he says. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, you understand what Scripture is saying? So you got down and you prayed and your heart condemned you. Why did your heart condemn you? Because you could have done more than just say, have faith in God. That's what James is saying. What good did that do? But if we act like God acts, and we help as God directs us, then whenever we have a need, God will meet that need, because our heart has not condemned us. I know what you say sometimes. You say, well, I really didn't know if I had enough to help. Something just came to my mind that I'd like to put in to this Bible study. If you'll turn to Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter, we're going to throw something in that hopefully be helpful to you. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Now, here's this passage of Scripture dealing with giving. It said, give a portion to 7 and also to 8. So, when in Bible days, it was time to make the bread, they made 7 loaves of bread. But sometimes they had some left over and they made 8 loaves. Now somebody comes and knocks on your door and asks you for food. You give it to them. But if you had 8 loaves, you have 7 left. You're in pretty good shape. But somebody else comes and knocks on your door. You got 6. Somebody else comes and knocks on your door. After a while, 7 people has knocked upon your door, but you say, thank the Lord for that one extra loaf. But what if somebody comes and knocks on your door and asks for the 8th loaf? Now, this is what the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes is saying. Now, when he says, cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days, they didn't go cast bread upon the water. They cast seed. But if you've sown the seed brings forth more seed, so you could actually make more. But notice what the writer says, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. You know, most of the time we would say, well, I'm going to give this because I know the answer. I know what's going to happen. But the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes says, no, you give it because you don't know. Thus showing your faith in God. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I read that and that kind of scares me. But we do it because we don't know, not because we do know. Like David said, I was young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, talking about his children, begging bread. Praise God, praise God. So we want God to answer our prayers, but we're not always willing to do what he asks us to do. So if your relationship with God is one-sided, you can rest assured you won't find much favor with God. In other words, it's one-sided because you're asking God to help you. You give to me, but you will not give to God. Does that sound like selfishness? Does it? It's okay to say yes. It does, doesn't it? Now, we've all heard Luke 6:38 quoted. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Just answer me. Answer me without trying to think about what I'm up to. Okay? How many of you feel that you would like a financial blessing? Raise your hand. I'll raise mine. Okay. Okay. Now, you remember Jesus giving the story in Luke 21 about the widow that gave her mite. And so what we must understand is that, you know, God kind of peeps every now and then to find out what we're doing. He was standing there by a pillar while they were giving him money, was peeping, looking, see what. He didn't condemn the people that gave large amounts of money. What he did was he commended the lady for giving all that she had. Yeah. But you know, here's what happens to us sometimes. Especially now, this is going to hit especially you who have problems with paying tithing. Okay. I know some of you have problems with this because I peeped. Okay. But God says, give and it shall be given unto you. You know what he does? He says, you say you want a blessing? Every time you come to the house of God, they pass the offering plate by you. This is your opportunity to receive favor with God and be blessed of God. And you may not believe it, but I'm standing right where the ushers are standing. I'm peeping. Do you actually think God would peep on you? You just think. He does more than peep. He just sees what you're doing. But it sounds to me like when the Bible says, give, it shall be given unto you, God's saying, I'm giving you the opportunity Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I'm giving you the opportunity to be blessed. But if you say, I need a blessing, and yet you won't give. I'm not saying every time the plate passes you should give, because we have people who give one check a week, and it's a big check to cover all. But you understand what I'm saying? Malachi 2, verse 7 through 12. This is a passage of scripture that deals with tithing. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law. Am I on the right one? Is that Malachi 3? Pardon me? Malachi 3, verse 7. Okay. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? There's some people that have ignored God's word for so long that they actually have forgotten what it's all about. They hear teaching like this and just, they don't know how to take it. And that's what the Israel was saying. They said, well, how have we ignored your teaching? What do we do wrong? Will a man rob God, yet ye have robbed me? But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts. God's saying, just prove me now. Do it and see. Just do it and see. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So you want that financial blessing. Now, God accused them of robbing. Now, the thing about tithing belongs to the Lord. Every generation of people, God put them in charge of something that they were not to touch. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Here, don't touch this tree. And the tithing, the Bible says, belongs to the Lord. So it is perfectly proper to say, I paid my tithing, just like you paid a mortgage bill, because it belongs to God. And any time you take tithing and you use it for your own benefit and you do not give it to the house of God, you're robbing God. Well, years ago, we had someone that broke into the church and we had a She's for Christ coat. It actually was one of my coats, and they put patches all over it and people would put an offering in it and sew it up. They found that coat and they took it. And I remember one brother that came and he got there early. But he saw it. Oh, I can't believe it. Anybody would rob God. Who in the world would do that? Well, unfortunately, you know, I'd been peeping too into the record books. Oh, well. But you see, to him, to break in the church and rob was different than just outright ignoring God and not giving. See. But we all want to gain favor with God. And this is what God is saying. Just prove me. Just do it because I tell you to do it. Just prove me. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven and give you a blessing. You will not be able to contain. I'll show favor toward you. Prove me now. Deuteronomy 28 is one of the most exciting chapters in the Bible. Deuteronomy 28, and it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. God has said, I'm going to set you on high above all nations of the earth. Then verse 2, Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. And these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Overtake thee. I've used the example of a policeman turning his lights on and overtaking you. You've been going down the road and you see this and you think, man, he overtakes you. Well, usually a policeman overtakes you if you're doing something wrong. But God said, just as the policeman will overtake you when you're doing something wrong, I will overtake you. In other words, you cannot outrun the favor and blessings of God if you do what is right. Now keep in mind, now I talked about loving everybody. I'm talking about giving. I'm talking about the relationship with your brothers and sisters, your relationship with your neighbor, and how it affects your relationship to your God. So to gain favor with God, you do all these things, not just one of these things. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. In other words, when you get up and go to work, God's going to bless you. When you come back home and you live out in the country, God's going to bless you. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of the cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. In other words, everything that you have, God's going to bless you. And we have many people that have been so blessed of God. Many people. You think of Patrick and Shelley when they went overseas. Patrick had a job with GE. He quit his job, sold everything he had. Went over there. You were over there a year and a half, something like that. Then came back home. Right away, got his job back, and I think with more money. Now he and Shelley have moved out to Stoughton. They're hoping and praying that they'll be able to open up a church out there. And you time after time after time, you see this happening. Gaining favor with God. I preached a message about 25 years ago, and I titled it, All for $50. And I talked about somebody that made $500 a week. Now, most people make more than that now. So maybe I could up the price a little bit. Let's say you make $800 a week. It's $20 an hour. Now, you think about where that $80, if you don't give that to God, you think about where it could go or where it does go. Then you think about everything that you touch, God's going to bless. And it only costs you $80. It's pretty cheap. Marriages fall apart. Have to go to professional counseling. All the things that can possibly happen to you. But if you follow God and follow God's will, you gain favor with Him. Would you believe that 90% of your paycheck with God's blessings has more spending power than 100 without God's blessings? Praise God. Now, it doesn't bother me one bit to talk about tithing. I know I've talked to some that have said, I always feel a little bit awkward. Well, maybe it's because I've been preaching a while. But I don't feel awkward at all. I was called by a pastor to come to his church and speak on tithing. I did. I did not know that the man that was sitting on the front seat the first time in church, he'd been in a home Bible study. And when I concluded my sermon, He walked down the front and he knelt down. Some people gathered around him. He received the Holy Ghost. His first time in church, and all he heard was tithing. But I think you can see the love of God involved in that. So when we overcome selfishness, we start loving each other, love our neighbor as our equal, love our brothers and sisters above ourselves. Of course, first is our love to God. Second Thessalonians 3:3. The Bible tells us, but God is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. That's our God. God's been so good to me. Oh, praise God. Would you stand with me? Gaining favor with God. Brother Lehman said, Brother Grant, my wife and I have been here like three times or four times. He said, do you think your church is growing? I said, well, I know it is. But he said, I'm talking about you got so many young people and so many young couples. And my wife and I said, you know, this church is really growing. You can feel stability and growth in these young people. You know, it's pretty hard for you to sit back and see what God has done. And when I was a kid, one thing I hated to do, I hated to go to family reunions. My dad had a couple of sisters that always kissed me. Oh. Aunt Pearl, oh. She had a little mustache. She had the wettest lips. Then she'd stand back and say, John Wesley Grant, look how much you've grown. Well, wait a minute, I've been looking at myself. I didn't know I'd grown. But you know, you eat the right food and you get the right exercise. Would you come to church and you eat the right food and then you put legs on your prayers and you help people and you knock doors and you do ministry, and people like Brother Lehman have come by and said, man, these young couples have grown. I got to tell you, that made me feel so good. So good. And I do want to say this to all of you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for loving God, for keeping the truth, keeping a good attitude toward each other. You may say, well, Brother Grant, you made it sound like we didn't know. I didn't intentionally do that, but if there's one here that doesn't, I want to make sure that you understand. Like one lady asked me one time, she said, were you preaching at me? I said, not specifically, but I was not excluding you. Oh, praise God. I love Jesus. Lift your hands and love the Lord as our praise singers sing.